we are delighted to be teaching about one of the most important subjects in the world, the person of the Holy Spirit. And in today's lesson, we are speaking about the Holy Spirit imparts power. This is one of the functions and the operations of the Holy Spirit, and that he doesn't just function in knowledge, but he functions in strength. And that's the capacity we wish to speak to him about. We have discovered in studying the Holy Spirit that he began his dispensation, called the dispensation of grace, with a promise by the Lord Jesus. In John 14:6, the Lord Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter or helper, or one to walk along beside, an encourager." So we could expect this dispensation to continue with prophecy and also with power. In Acts 1:9, the Lord Jesus, 1:8, the Lord Jesus said, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So when we speak of the energy of the Holy Spirit, the first thing we would like to say about it is that it's unlimited. No meter has ever been able to correctly estimate the power that could go through it. Man doesn't have any abilities to know the strength of the Holy Spirit. He himself operates in power, because on the first page of history, on the first page of the Bible, we find him functioning in creation in power, not just intelligence or knowledge. In Genesis 1:2, it says the earth was without form and it was empty. Void means empty. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so the first action that we have of the Holy Spirit is moving in chaos to bring cosmos. So it was an action of strength. It was an action of power. It was an action of energy in the very beginning. And if we take that in, put it across in a big circle to the end of the Bible, we discover that on the final page of the Bible, it closes with his energetic plea when he says in Revelation 22:17, the last chapter in the Bible, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And so in this lesson, we will be exploring how the Holy Spirit imparts energy, strength to the human persons that he fills, that understands his personality and works along with him. So in the beginning page of the Bible, we find him moving in colossal strength, maybe we should say unimaginable strength, to bring something onto this earth, like the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. In the very last page of the Bible, we find him saying to the people, "Come to God, come to God." So he remained busy. He remained active from one first cover to the back cover of the Holy Word of God. The reason we say that is because sometimes you pick up one scripture that tells you a truth, but it's not related to other scriptures. But when you find a continuing truth that continues through the Word of God, like the Holy Spirit does, then you pick up the whole dynamic movement, you see, and you put it together. That is full orb truth. Some people build doctrines on two or three words out of one sentence, and we don't feel that that's the purpose of the Bible at all. We feel like that God places his total truth from the first page of the Bible to the last page of the Bible, and that if we will follow in total truth, that we can find it anywhere in the Bible. You can find the movements of the Holy Ghost in Revelation just as well as you can in Genesis. And you can find salvation in Genesis as well as you can in Revelation. And when we deal with total truth, we expect to find it just wherever we look. And the promise to the disciples, as I read to you, I gave to you from Acts 1:8, that they would become energized with the same power that moved in creation. And they would become energized with the same commiserate feelings that we have in the last chapter in Revelation. Come to God. Come to peace. Come to grips with sin. Come unto God and be saved. That's the last plea of it. Now, when we look back through the Word of God, we begin to discover how God imparted power through the Holy Spirit to certain peoples. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost came upon people. It tells you so, that he came upon them. But in the New Testament, he doesn't come upon us precisely. He lives within us. That means that power can flow from us anytime, anywhere. It is not limited in that you can feel it on Sunday, but not on Monday. You can have it every day of the week, every hour of the day. And so the Holy Ghost wishes to empower us, you know, constantly. In the book of Judges, chapter 14 and verse 5, we read of some of Samson's mighty acts, which were through the power of the Holy Ghost functioning in a man. Now, his power came to him through a vow. And it was a vow that his parents made. That's a lot of interesting things in the Bible, in that this man got power with God through a parent's decision. And from the way he lived, he didn't very much appreciate the power that he had with God. But his parents said he shall be a Nazarite, which was to be separated from that which is dead, that's disintegrating, and could not cut his hair like men did in that time, and could not imbibe with alcoholic beverage. And this separated him from other people, and through that separation, this power came, that if he were to break the vow, he'd also broken the source of his power, you see, because the source of his power upon him through the Holy Ghost was because of a commitment or a pledge that his parents had made for him. All right, in Judges 14 and 5, it says, Samson went down, and his father and his mother too, to Timnath. That's where he found the girl that he wanted to marry. And he came to the vineyards of Timnath, and a young lion roared against him. And the next verse, which is verse 6, says, and the Spirit of Jehovah came mightily upon him. Now, you might just put a little circle around the words upon him, because it is very useful to know that before the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, he functioned in a different way than he did after the beginning of the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. That he did not function, you know, as I told you, there were three great dispensational periods, which break down into seven dispensations totally. But in the Old Testament, we actually have the time when the Father dealt with mankind. You could call it a dispensation, although it was broken down into innocence and conscience and human government and so forth. But in the New Testament, the Holy Ghost, it's his dispensation. He still works with men, but he works with them in a stronger manner than he ever did in the Father's dispensation or in the dispensation of the Son. So it says, the Spirit of Jehovah came upon Samson, but it came upon him. And Samson rent the lion as he would have rent a kid, as if he'd killed a little lamb. And he had nothing in his hand. He had strength in his hands to destroy a lion in his full strength. And he told not his father or his mother. Now that makes him different from us, because if you were to kill a rabbit, you'd have to tell everybody about it. But here was a man, you notice in verse 5 it says, a young lion. You know, some people, oh well, he'd lost his teeth. He was an old boy, he got a hold. It says, a young lion roared against him. I mean, he didn't go pick a fight with a lion. It says the young lion roared against him, came against him to fight him, to kill him. And he rose up and destroyed him, and destroyed him like you'd kill a little baby, a little baby sheep or a little baby calf. And with nothing in his hand. But it says he didn't even tell his father and his mother what he'd done. Now, there's a little bit of greatness that showed his strength. Now, it says the Spirit of God came upon him, with a capital S, the personality of the Spirit. And so evidently, in the Old Testament, the power of the Holy Ghost could be imparted spasmodically upon human persons in certain circumstances of life. All that we want to show in this lesson is that the Holy Spirit does impart power. So you have a real right to come to the Holy Ghost and say, I have a promise in Acts 1 and 8. When I receive the Holy Ghost, I shall have power. And I want it. You see? People that don't know what they want seldom get anything. And people that ask for things in general seldom ever get anything, because God doesn't know how to answer a general prayer very well. It's when we have a specific prayer for a specific need, dealing with a specific power, the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, in Judges 14 and 19, it says, and the spirit of Jehovah came upon Samson, and he went down to Escalon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. And so here we find again that the Spirit of God came upon this man. And here he combats 30 warriors at a time. Now, anybody would know that's not normal nor average for a man to do that, but he had an anointing to come upon him. You say, that's a strange anointing. Yes, it is, but those are strange times. He was the leader in Israel, and he was a judge in Israel, and these were pagan and heathen that wished to destroy the seed that would produce the Savior. You got to keep that in mind. You won't understand the Old Testament at all. From the first family of Adam and Eve, when God said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, there was a battle to destroy the seed. So almost every conflict that you have in the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament, relates to the devil trying to destroy the seed so that could come no Savior. And this man was the leader of the nation at that time. He was the only leader that God had at that time. And so God did things through him that he wouldn't have done through another person, because he was the preserver of the seed. If those people had been left free to do as they pleased, they would have killed all the Israelites and finished it off. There could have been no world Savior at all. And so some of these things that happen wouldn't be what would happen in your life or my life. You don't go out and kill 30 men, you see. But here something happened, but it was in the preservation of a world Savior that God had to keep the seed strong. And he was destroying the enemies of those that would destroy the seed. And you see there, it says that he slew 1,000 men. That's in Judges 15, the next chapter. Verse 14, it says, and when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And it says mightily. It didn't just come on him. Came upon him mightily. The cords that were upon his arms were like flax that was burnt with fire. His hands were loosed from his hands. The bands were loosed from his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Now, anyone at all would know that no human person has any power to slay 1,000 men with swords and spears and bows and arrows. So if he didn't have a supernatural accomplice, he never could have done it. Now, that's real. We're only trying to show you that in the Old Testament, God imparted power by his Spirit for certain things. And this man reveals it very strong that is what happened. Now, you come to your point two on page 53. It speaks to us about King Saul. That here was a man that became king. Then now we finished with these men that came to power, and they served as judges over the land. The people said, we want a taller man, and we want a greater authority. We want kingship rather than just priesthood and judgeship. And so they chose Saul to be their leader. And 1 Samuel 11 and 6 says, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of the messenger, said, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done to them. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out of one consent. So here was a man becoming the leader, and he wanted leadership, and he wanted those people to follow him into battle. That he wanted to be their king, and he demonstrated to them when the Spirit of God came upon him. And when it came upon him, And he heard of all the things that had been done against Israel. He was angry at the devil and the enemies of Israel. And God's spirit motivated him. And he pulled together a whole nation. Now, this was really the first time that Israel became, you know, a united fighting nation together after it possessed the land. And so it was very necessary to have this to happen. And Saul was God's appointed and anointed leader at that part of this dispensation. In point three, you have David. In 1 Samuel 16 and 13, it says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of Jehovah came upon David, and from that day forward, so that Samuel rose up and went back to Ramah. Here was David. Now, he was anointed for many things, I'm sure, but it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So that meant came upon, you know, today, next week, next month, next year. And so it was an upon thing. But from that day forward, he had this holy anointing that came from God that the Holy Spirit brought. And he was one of those people that he enjoyed this anointing from God way back there in a time before Jesus Christ came to the earth, or before the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And your point number four, at the bottom of page 53, Elijah and Elisha. Here were two prophets of God named Elijah and Elisha. Elijah came first always, and Elisha came second. In 2 Kings 2 and 9, it says, it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I'd like a double portion of thy spirit upon me. A double portion of thy spirit upon me. And from that moment, from that hour, he became anointed of the Holy Spirit. Now, he had not had it before. Elijah had it, but he had not had it. So when he picked up the coat of Elijah and started back, when he got to the River Jordan, he just cried, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the anointing of the Holy Ghost came upon him. The stream, the River Jordan, parted one way and the other, north and south. And he walked right straight through on dry ground. And then he began to perform all kinds of mighty deeds among the people. And so for sure, the Spirit of God rested upon him. And so for power, not just for blessing, but for power and strength, the Holy Spirit blessed people in the Old Testament. And that's the source of what we're trying to make very plain to all of us now. Now we can move a little further into page 54 of your teaching syllabus. We find Isaiah in point number five, that he prophesied about the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have any record of Isaiah doing anything physically, like all of these did, you know, did things physically. David slew people, slew a giant, and lions and bears and so forth, under a holy anointing of God. But in Isaiah, he spoke by the anointing. In Isaiah 11:2, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He was here prophesying of the coming Messiah. And so he was by the Spirit of the Lord, he was saying what was going to happen when the Messiah came, which is Jesus, that God's Holy Spirit would rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom would be upon him, the Spirit of understanding would be upon him, the spiritual of counsel would be upon him, the Spirit of might, as great as Samson, if he'd have wanted to use it that way, would be upon him, and the Spirit of knowledge would be upon him, and the Spirit of reverence to God. Fear here doesn't have to do with terror. It has to do with respect and of the respect of the Most High God. And this was a prophecy that was of the Lord Jesus Christ that, of course, did come to pass. And the Spirit of the Lord brought it about, the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, in Isaiah 61 and 1, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Here we have a further prophecy from the heart of Isaiah that has to do with the coming of the Messiah to planet Earth. And he was telling you what kind of a person this Messiah would be when he says, as if, although this was 700 years before Christ came, it was as if he was the Christ. You know, the anointing was so strong, he says, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon me. You know, He was speaking of Jesus, because Jehovah hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted. He hath anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives. And he hath anointed me to open the prison to them that are bound. And verse 2 says, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of rejoicing for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And so it was a holy anointing. It was the Holy Ghost within him, but he was describing the Messiah that was to come. It was something that was really outside of his own ministry. He did not perform this. The Messiah performed all of this. And Jesus confirmed that in Luke chapter 4, that he said, this day has this been fulfilled. In Luke chapter 4, beginning of verse 18. Now, your number six here is Joel, another one of the prophets of the Old Testament. He prophesied regarding the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it's actually divided into two parts. At the opening of the dispensation of grace, or the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and the closing of it. The open door and the closing door, 2,000 years between. In Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days, I will pour out of my spirit. Now that partially took place on the day of Pentecost and just after it. And then it moved 2,000 years until this moment. And this is being fulfilled very literally, very powerfully, very gloriously. Maybe the greatest revival in history is moving right now, and a lot of people don't even know anything about it. That's all right. A lot of people in Jerusalem didn't know what is happening there either. And so you can't let people's ignorance have anything to do with God's reality. God's reality is real, no matter how ignorant people feel about it. But we find that they were anointed of the Spirit 2,000 years ago. But we feel that a greater, sharper, stronger, more remarkable anointing is moving right now. We have young men in this country without any theological training that have 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 people that they pulled together in the last 2 or 3 years. It's not been known before. It is an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And we have Job's comforters say, won't last. Well, I just tell them, mighty good while it's here. Glory be to God. It's mighty good while it's here. I'm sorry you don't have it. That's a problem. All right, in number 7, Micah, in Micah 3 and 8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Micah was one of the minor prophets, and he knew the power of God. He says, I truly am full of the power of the Spirit of God. That's one of the strongest statements a human can make in Micah 3 and 8. He says, I not only am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord, but I am full of that power of judgment and of strength or might to declare unto the whole state of Israel their transgressions and all of their sins. And so here was a man moved upon by the Holy Ghost to preach by a strange energy that would cause people to turn from their sins and to serve God. Now that is a little of the Old Testament. You would certainly find a lot more of it. But in what you call the New Testament, the conclusion of the Malachi and the beginning of Matthew, we have here that the Lord Jesus, in the commencement of the new dispensation in Matthew 12 and 28, it says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So the Lord Jesus ministered in the power of the Spirit of God. He said so. He said, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. And in fact, what we want people to know very strong is that Jesus did nothing as God on the earth. If he had, that would have left you out, because we are not God. But if he did it by the Holy Ghost, and we have the Holy Ghost, then we can do the same thing he did, because it's the same Holy Ghost. And if the same Holy Ghost that anointed him anoints us, then we can expect the same blessings upon our lives. In Luke 4:14, he says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And he went back into Galilee, where he came from in the beginning. And there went out his fame throughout all the regions around about of the mighty miracles that took place, of the glorious powers that took place They went out all over the place. And I gave you a little from Luke 4:18 a few moments ago. The Lord Jesus quoted that, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because it's anointed me to preach the gospel. And then he tells them, says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he says, this day has this been fulfilled in your eyes. And so he did it. In John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the Lord Jesus says that the words that he said were quickened by the Holy Spirit, by the holy power of God. In Acts 10:38, we are told how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so we discover, now, in the dispensation of the Father God, from Genesis up to Malachi, then in the dispensation of the Son, the Holy Ghost had strange and remarkable powers when he came upon people. He did not come upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of the Holy Ghost. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Everything that he did was motivated by the power of the Holy Ghost. He is the perfect example of all time of how the Holy Ghost can lead a life, guide a life, bless a life, hold a life together. If we hold into the Holy Ghost, you never have divorces, you never have ups and downs, I'm discouraged, I'm not discouraged, and all that business. If you were full of the Holy Ghost, you would live a life like Jesus lived, exuberant and victorious and with dynamic strength. The Holy Ghost imparts power. That's one of his ministries, and we're delighted to warm ourselves in it, clothe ourselves in it, swim in it, enjoy it, because God wants us to know more and more about the Holy Ghost. Father, we just want to say thank you for these that learn, and for all of those to the ends of the earth that will learn, that there is a person called the Holy Ghost, and we are trying to bring him strong into their minds so that they won't think it's an it and won't think it's an influence, but know that he is a person. And that in the Old Testament, he came upon men. The Bible says he did. And so we accept that. And we thank you for it.